Charlie Chaplin, by name of Sir Charles Spencer Chaplin. British comedian, producer, writer, director, and composer who is widely regarded as the greatest comic artist of screen and one of the most important figures in motion picture history. Chaplin was named after his father, a British music hall entertainer. He spent his early childhood with his mother, the singer Hannah Hall, after she and his father separated, and he made his own stage debut at the age of 5, filling in for his mother. The mentally unstable Hall was later confined to an asylum. Charlie and his half-brother Sidney were sent to a series of bleak workhouses and residential schools. Using his mother's show business contacts, Charlie became a professional entertainer in 1897 when he joined the 8 Lancashire Lads, a clog dancing act. William Gillette Vaudeville. In 1908, he joined the Fred Carnot pantomime troupe, quickly rising to star status as the drunk in the ensemble sketch A Night in an English Music Hall. While touring America with the Carnot Company in 1913, Chaplin was signed to appear in Max Sennett's Keystone comedy films. Though his first Keystone one-reeler, Making a Living, 1914, was not the failure that historians have claimed, Chaplin's initial screen character, a mercenary dandy, did not show him to best advantage. Ordered by Sennett to come up with a more workable screen image, Chaplin improvised an outfit consisting of a too small coat, too large pants, floppy shoes, and a battered derby. As a finishing touch, he pasted on a postage stamp mustache and adopted a cane as an all-purpose prop. It was in his second Keystone film, Kid Auto Races at Venice, 1914, that Chaplin's immortal screen alter ego, the Little Tramp, was born. In truth, Chaplin did not always portray a tramp. In many of his films, his character was employed as a waiter, store clerk, stagehand, fireman, and the like. His character might be better described as the quintessential misfit, shunned by polite society, unlucky in love, jack of all trades but master of none. He was also a survivor, forever leaving past sorrows behind, jauntily shuffling off to new adventures. The tramp's appeal was universal. Audiences loved his cheekiness, his deflation of pomposity, his casual savagery, his unexpected gallantry, and his resilience in the face of adversity. His 35 Keystone comedies can be regarded as the tramp's gestation period, during which a caricature became a character. The films improved steadily once Chaplin became his own director. In 1915, he left Sennett to accept a $1,250 weekly contract at the SNA Studios. It was there that he began to inject elements of pathos into his comedy, notably in such shorts as The Tramp, 1915, and Burlesque on Carmen, 1915. He moved on to an even more lucrative job, $670,000 per year, at the Mutual Company Film Corporation. There, during an 18-month period, he made the 12 two-reelers that many regard as his finest films. It was then, in 1917, that Chaplin found himself attacked for the first, though hardly the last, time by the press. He was criticized for not enlisting to fight in World War I. To aid the war effort, Chaplin raised funds for the troops via bond drives. In 1918, Chaplin jumped studios again, accepting a $1 million offer from the First National Film Corporation for 8 shorts. That same year, he married 16-year-old film extra Mildred Harris, the first in a procession of child brides. For his new studio, he made shorts and his first starring feature, The Kid, 1921. Having divorced Mildred in 1921, Chaplin married in 1924, 16-year-old Lilita McMurray, who shortly would become known to the world as film star Lita Gray. They would be noisily divorced in 1927. From 1923 through to 1929, Chaplin made only 3 features: A Woman of Paris, 1923, which he directed but did not star in, and his only drama, The Gold Rush, 1925, widely regarded as his masterpiece, and The Circus, 1928, an underrated film that may rank as his funniest. All three were released by United Artists, the company co-founded in 1919 by Chaplin. As the Little Tramp, Chaplin had mastered the subtle art of pantomime, and the advent of sound gave him cause for alarm. After much hesitation, he released his 1931 feature, City Lights, as a silent, despite the ubiquity of talkies after 1929. The musical score, the lone sound element the film offered, was composed by Chaplin, and he conducted its recording. No matter the lack of dialogue, it was a huge success. In 1932, Chaplin began a relationship with young starlet Paulette Goddard. His next film, Modern Times, in 1936, was a hybrid, essentially a silent film with music, sound effects, and brief passages of dialogue. Chaplin also gave his Little Tramp a voice, as he performed a gibberish song. It was the last silent feature to come out of Hollywood, but audiences still turned out to see it. The Great Dictator, 1940. This was Chaplin's most overt political satire and his first sound picture. Chaplin starred in a dual role as a nameless Jewish barber and as Adenoid Hinkel, dictator of Tomania, a dead-on parody of German dictator Adolf Hitler, to whom Chaplin bore a remarkable physical resemblance. The film did well at the box office, and he received his only Academy Award nomination as Best Actor. After making just three movies over a 10-year period, Chaplin would take seven more years before his next film. Problems in his personal life were again partly to blame. In 1942, he and Goddard divorced. In 1943, a paternity suit was brought against him by young would-be actress Joan Barry. That same year, he married 18-year-old Una O'Neill, daughter of playwright Eugene O'Neill. In the Barry suit, the courts ruled against Chaplin in 1944. He was named the father of Barry's child, although he was cleared of the more serious charges of violating the Mann Act, which prohibited interstate transportation of women for immoral purposes. His darkest comedy, Monsieur Verdoux, was released in 1947, and by then Chaplin was in the headlines again, as possibly being called before the House Un-American Activities Committee, HUAC, to testify about his relations with communists, especially exiled German composer Hans Eisler. Monsieur Verdoux was an utter failure commercially upon its release, his first since A Woman of Paris, 24 years earlier. And critical opinion was divided, although Chaplin's screenplay was nominated for an Oscar. Chaplin took another 5 years to launch his next film, The Melancholy Limelight, 1952. Limelight would be given an Oscar for its score, to which Chaplin contributed. In 1973, after the film finally received the requisite release in Los Angeles. For Chaplin, Limelight's release was further tainted by the US Immigration and Naturalization Service advising him, as he sailed on an ocean liner with Una to the film's premiere in London, that he would be denied re-entry to the United States unless he was willing to answer charges of a political nature and of moral turpitude. The Chaplins continued on their way to England. She returned to the States to close out their business affairs while he kept going, finally settling in Corsier-sur-Vevey, Switzerland, where he and Una would live for the rest of their lives. He liquidated his interest in United Artists.